The market update was sponsored by the KDHL Agri Boosters, including Northland Buildings for quality post-frame construction. Find out more? Very easy. Go to their website, northlandbuildings.com. It's pork month, and that's what we were talking about before the market break with Dave Preisler, Executive Director of the Minnesota Pork Producers Association, the pork industry. And Dave, before the break, we were just talking a little bit about how tough it's been to be in agriculture during this pandemic, and we got blindsided with the black swan that nobody could come. But during the market break, I was thinking, while I was listening to the markets, about something you said about how resilient this agriculture industry is, from the production side to the retail side, trying to figure out how to get the job done and keep the food pipeline full.
You know, it really is. And I know that there's been some criticisms that have been lodged, at the system. But if you think about it, and we've talked with some folks that have actually done some modeling work with it too, you know, the system we have is really good at providing affordable, safe food. Now, I think there's some folks that are going to continue to look at, you know, how can we keep making it more resilient? And I think that's something that's good to keep having those discussions. But boy, the recovery was made pretty quick from, again, a processing and distribution standpoint, especially the processing and distribution of the actual products. You know, where we really got held up is we couldn't actually, you know, bring animals in for a period of time. That put everybody behind. But I got to give the folks at packing plants, you know, and other processors credit for how they were able to pivot, you know, as within the constraints that were given.
One of the things that stuck out on my mind, and I said, maybe the only good that could come from all of this and what we went through is that the consumer who only knows about food production, that the grocery store is aerosol safe, affordable, and abundant, maybe they will start to have more appreciation for this incredible agricultural system. But do you know any pork producers, Dave, that sheltered in place at home for 2 or 3 weeks? I don't. They were out there every day taking care of their pigs. Everybody from the truckers to the feed to the veterinarian to the processors, they were there. My wife works in the meat processing industry as an occupational health nurse, and we are in the vulnerable age group. And some people said, well, you shouldn't be going to work. And my wife said, I'm going to work until I get sick, because what we do is important. People need to eat. But that was kind of the attitude that everybody in this system had.
Well, I think as you look at it, it is incredibly important to get some of those designations as essential workers. And, you know, and it goes all the way to the grocery store. You know, we owe people a debt of gratitude all the way through the chain. And because even though they were designated as essential, it didn't necessarily mean that, you know, that you could force people to actually show up. So I do think you had people that believed in what they were doing. And now the other piece of it, you did have some businesses specifically at the grocery store level and also at the packing plant level that raised wages during that or gave bonuses and those sorts of things to work through some of that. And the other thing is they made sure as soon as it was available and they knew how some of it could work, you know, to install safety measures and proper PPE as soon as they could. So, you can't live without food for very long. And, you know, it's one of those things that is absolutely essential. And that's why we're grateful that decisions were made to make sure that those that not only grow it at the farm level, but also in the whole distribution side were declared essential, because they are.
Well, no, you alluded to it before the market break during the first part, that we've had a nice price recovery. Part of that is because of great domestic demand, but a lot of it is export market for pork too, isn't it, Dave?
You know, it is. And so it's really both sides. Domestic side, you know, we've just seen really good demand domestically. And so we obviously hope that that holds coming into the winter months. This tends to be the time of year when we're going to have more and more product available. It should be priced pretty reasonably. And so hopefully consumers take advantage of that. Then on the export side of things, the thing that's really been a game changer there is that there was a disease called African swine fever that was discovered in Germany about a month and a half ago now. And it's only in wild boar in Germany, not in their commercial herd. But Germany was exported a fair amount of pork, and their number one export destination for pork was China, and then followed by South Korea, Japan, so really that Asian area. And so one of the consequences, if you are found to have that disease within your borders, is that you can't export anymore. Now, so what happened then is that created kind of a shuffling of the deck chairs across the world on who could supply them those markets in that previously that Germany was supplying. And so that's part of what has resulted in this price uptick that's been pretty substantial. And so we're thankful for it. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes, the unfortunate part of an unfortunate thing to happen to someone else to drive some of these supply and demand pieces. But it also underscores the importance of us being able to keep those foreign animal diseases out of the United States. And we're going to continue to do everything that we can on a daily basis to make sure that we're providing that defense.
And African swine fever, really the groundwork was set for that a while before the break in Germany because it was in China, more pigs in China, I understand, than the rest of the world combined, and they lost about half their herd when their country broke with African swine fever.
Yes, and that's also what's created so much of the export demand. We're at the point now where roughly about 10% of all the pork that's produced in the United States is being exported to China. A good chunk of that, though, are parts of the pig that we don't eat here. Okay, so it's really not taking away from our domestic demand for a good sized portion of that. So, for example, they've got they like to buy like the not only muscle cuts, but also like the ears, the feet, tails, internal organs that are the heads, okay, that have value in that culture, and people will pay for them. In fact, they're more willing to pay on a per pound basis for ears than they would a pork loin in China. And so those are the types of things that have really been increasing in value along, or excuse me, in not only value, but also on the pound side of things. And we need that to continue to happen because it creates a balanced market for us. We'll eat the part of the pig we really want to eat here in the United States and export the parts that we really don't eat very much of here.
It's all about your culture and what you're used to, but they can have all the pig ears they want. Give me the pork loin and the chops and the bacon and the ham.
Hey. All goes back to what cultural preferences are, and as long as it all moves, that works for us.
And in terms of the domestic demand, back to that again, because that's the biggest part of our demand. Is it just because pork is so reasonably priced, it's nutritious, it's readily available? Have we seen an increase in? Because you've alluded to it a couple of times, and that's great news for pork producers.
Yeah, I think there's a few things going on. One is price. Folks are really sensitive. They are sensitive to price. They're sensitive to quality, and consistency. Okay, and that's kind of the three things that are going to drive people's decision making as far as looking at any sort of product. Now, one of the other things that's been an interesting kind of result as you look at, more people working from home, is that you do have more people that are doing grilling, or smoking. And that is something that has increased quite a bit because, one of the things, if you're going to smoke a rack of ribs or a pork shoulder, is that you kind of need to be around for a while. Okay. So you have to be around that smoker. Now, not for every minute, but at least to be able to check in on it. And so with people being able to work at home more, you are seeing a lot more demand for that. And people wanting to try something new to do, they can't really go other places and do other things. And so that's resulted in some demand that's really been welcome too.
And in terms of maybe convenience too, like ground pork burgers, maybe increased in demand for that just because of how we were home more or closer to home?
I'd say the demand more on the ground pork has been kind of two things. One is that with some of our processing challenges, as far as people and so on are concerned, we don't have as it's just easier to move ground pork than it is to go through that next step of doing sausage and packaging and so on. And then the other thing is just straight up price, is that, as long as ground pork is going to fit in there, at a price point that's going to be less than ground beef, provides a tremendous alternative, and consumers have that choice. But I'd say a big part of that on the ground pork side is just really driven by price.
Well, Louise and
there's nothing
I,
you,
go ahead.
There's nothing you can't do with ground pork, you know, that you can't do with hamburger, you know, and vice versa. And so, you know, it's just a different flavor.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because Louise and I, typically you're making a hat dish, or, you know, because I'm not the greatest chef, it's called Hamburger Helper. You know what? You can take ground pork and make Hamburger Helper, and it turns out pretty good. It tastes a little bit different.
Yeah, just a little bit, just a different taste. And but yeah, you can obviously make the same things.
Well, Dave, we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left, but talking to pork producers, whether it's the actual producer or all of everyone along the chain, there's a lot more optimism, and maybe we're going to survive this given there are no more hiccups along the way.
You know, that's certainly our hope. And, you know, one of the other pieces that has, if there's any silver lining, is that we have used some of the learnings that have occurred here to how the United States would react if there was a market disruption because of a foreign animal disease. And so I think sometimes even when things are bad, you have to go back and do some learning from those things and see how it can apply to something else in your life, you know, or in your business. And we've certainly taken some of those lessons too. You know, a lot of the people talk about this as a black swan event. You know, I look at it more as like a major league curveball. You know, sometimes the batter can see it coming, and if that curveball is good enough, you still can't hit it. And so, you know, I think as we look at these things, we just have to learn. We have to be able to adjust, and also work with government to provide support where it's something that is reasonable and needed from the economy.
I remember, was it 2 years ago up at Pork Congress, I first learned about African swine fever and how devastating it would be if it were ever found here. Well, maybe we kind of found out what it would be like, only it was COVID-19 instead. And I wanted to spend the last minute or two just talking about how important it is for foreign travelers. If you're going somewhere, don't bring that ham sandwich back. Don't feel like customs is just trying to be difficult. They have a job to do to try and make sure that some foreign animal disease doesn't accidentally show up in this country.
You know, exactly. And I think that's something that everyone, you know, really generate more of an appreciation for. There are also farms and feed mills and feed companies that have done work on feed biosecurity, because there are some ingredients that we can only find in other countries. Some of the B vitamins, for example, none of those are made for livestock in the United States. And so there are, you know, biosecurity measures that we need to be implementing on farm or in feed mills. And they've done that also over the last 1 to 2 years that is going to make us better and try and mitigate those risks also.
Because we've got APHIS and the USDA and Customs then really stepped up their game in this last year or two then.
You know, they have, but one of the other threats that's out there right now is that one of the things that pays for a good chunk of those inspections are user fees. And so anyone that travels internationally, a small part of your ticket price actually goes to help pay for those inspections. Well, right now, you know, that whole travel thing is an absolute shell of what it once was, but yet we still move a lot of products, you know, back and forth. And so one of the things that we are working with members of Congress on is to make sure that we're not shorting any of the inspections that are made. In fact, we need more in order to protect not only domestic livestock, but domestic crops from any sort of diseases, you know, or insects and so on. And so that's one of the things that we're going to continue to work on over the next couple of months.
Well, we've got the national news coming up. Always enjoy visiting with you, Dave. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Take care.
Dave Preissler, Executive Director of the Minnesota Pork Producers Association.